You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back. Hour number two of our Kentucky Derby special show, live from Batavia Downs Gaming inside the Park Place Room. Brian Colzio with you here. Go until 5 p.m. As, yes, it's Derby Day, the first Saturday in May, the Run for the Roses. And from Churchill Downs, post time set for 6:57 p.m. If you want to watch it, it's on NBC today. And some couple of Game 7s tonight in sports, one on the NHL side, one on the NBA side. We'll talk about the NHL side of things coming up at 4 o'clock with Paul Hamilton. But to start off our second hour here, want to bring in Sal Capaccio, of course. You hear him on the Extra Point Show on WGR weekdays 10 to 12, our Bills beat reporter. Sal, good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty good, Brian. I was going to be doing this from a baseball field, getting ready for a Little League game to watch it on opening day, but everything got rained out here in Buffalo, so I'm actually watching the Yankees play the Rays as I talk to you, and it kind of dawned on me. I had to ask you, what has happened to your Orioles, pal?
Oh, my God. They have just fallen. I mean, the promise of thinking that they not only were going to be good this year, but, like, good for the next decade with their young group of player, core players that they have. And all of a sudden, we're sitting here saying, oh, my goodness, like, is this even – is this going to have to be rebuilt all of a sudden here? Yeah, they have been a real, real disappointment to start things off. I mean, it's salvageable. They're 13-18, but yeah, it is not gone well for sure. And they're in, as you know, a very difficult division. Probably, you know, when the season started, you could have made a case for all five teams in some sense making the playoffs. I'm not saying maybe even win the division, but all five teams making the playoffs. And well, they haven't. They really haven't. They have put themselves in a little hole here to start, for sure.
Yeah, listen, last year I thought they'd win the division. I was like, oh my God, this team's really good. They're young. They're loaded. They're going to be good for a while. They didn't. They kind of disappointed last year, but you're right. 13 and 18 is a record you can climb out of. But when you watch them play, you're like, I don't know how they're going to do it. They have, like, their pitching is not good, right? And I know they beat the Yankees 2 out of 3, but man, it's just. Had to ask you, I don't think we talk baseball a lot lately, and I'm watching the Yankees. I'm watching Judge again hit another homer today. He's hitting like 430 in May right now. It's unbelievable. Like, we're at May 3rd. I think his average after his at-bats today is right around 430.
He continues to amaze me, and, you know, we're not in the home run era that, Sal, when you and I were younger, of Sosa and McGuire, but he continues to do things that draw me to watch his at-bats, like it was with Sosa and McGuire. I will have the Yankees game on, yes, and just, you know, it'll be background TV, you know, on an average night. But if I know Judge is due up, I'm making sure that I'm not leaving the room until after he at bat. He's right. At bat. Just because he is right up there right now to me with the top people, not only in baseball but in sports, of like, you want to watch, like, him and Ohtani to me are definitely that for baseball. You know, just like we'd say the same about maybe Curry in the NBA or McDavid in the NHL, or yep, the Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson group in NFL. Like, you want to watch them because you never know when they're going to do something phenomenal. And Judge, just the in baseball, which is a numbers game where less than 50% seems bad, which we know in baseball is not the case. This guy is at an incredible clip, and the power that he puts on is, it's really, really impressive. So, you know, kudos. And he seems, by all accounts, Sal, to be a guy that you want to root for, too. Like, he carries himself well, yeah, the way he does when on and off the field and being the captain of the team. So, you know, I enjoy, just as a sports fan, watching Judge play for sure.
435. He's 2-for-3 today. He's currently at 435. They're in the top of the eighth inning here today. They're 1-2-1, but he's hitting 435 right now. That's, it's
that is amazing. Yeah, it really is. So, Sal, today I'm obviously here in Batavia for the Derby. We're going to talk about the Bills draft and the Micah Hyde charity softball game in a moment. But I always, you know, on a day like today, the American tradition of the Derby, I have been to Churchill Downs. I have not been there for the Derby, though. I guess, A, have you been ever to Churchill Downs? But B, like, on your sports bucket list of venues, and you are fortunate that you have been to a lot of very great football venues with your job, where does this one kind of rank for you? And I guess, is it one that is on your short list of things to get to if it hasn't been already?
Oh, it's for sure on the list because we have not. Partly, yeah, because we have a great resource in Eric Wood, who obviously goes every year. He's very good friends with everybody at Churchill. Eric's kind of like, you know, he's kind of the guy.
Mayor there?
I don't think he runs, yeah, Churchill Downs. I want to say that. But, you know, he's like this very, he's very popular there, obviously. And he's, yeah, very tight with a lot of people over there who are high up. And he's introduced me to very, very high people at Churchill Downs. And come on, you got to come sometime. And it always just seems to line up with, like, the Micah Hyde softball game this weekend, right? Which is, yeah, what I MC for, or something else going on. A couple years ago, we were going to go, but it was so tough. This is the 150th anniversary last year, 2 years ago. It might have been last year.
Yeah, last year, because this is 151 this year. Yeah.
And it was just a little bit too tough for everything going on around that particular race. So, yes, partly because my wife really wants to go. Jan always says, we got to go. It's on the list. When we were in Florida, we would go to Kentucky Derby parties, like a lot of people do. And we'd have mint juleps, and people would wear the hats. We'd go over our friend's house. We have a friend who's from near Louisville. I think she's from Cincinnati, actually. And she would have the party at her house. And one year, her kids were little. We didn't have Max yet. And one year we went, and she had ponies. There was literally a pony ride in the backyard going on during the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah, we've been into it. When I was a kid, Brian, my dad really liked betting on the horses. Like, it was just, like, his thing. He wasn't into, like, football and basketball and that, but he liked to bet on the horses. Yeah. And I remember watching the Kentucky Derby a lot. And I used to be able to name, like, Kentucky Derby winners the way that I could name Heisman Trophy winners. You know what I mean? I remember, yeah, like, Ali Sheba and Winning Colors. And, you know, I think Ali Sheba was 87. It's the one that always sticks out to me. But I can't think of all of the names now and all of the years. But I could do that when I was younger because I used to really watch horse racing a lot.
1987. Let's see here. Are you right on
Ali Sheba?
Well,
you got it there?
I'm looking. Ryan has given me a juice glass with all the winners on it. I'm trying to find 87 here. Let's see. 76, 79, 78, 87. You're right. Ali Sheba, 1987.
And I believe Winning Colors was right around there, maybe 89, 90.
Winning Colors was 88, right after it.
There you go.
Winning Colors, yeah, 88.
So that's the time period
Sunday
where
Silence, I was 89.
Watching. Sunday, yep. Silence, yeah.
Yeah, and then,
you know, I have a great, great trivia question I think is, and today is the day, or this time of year is always the best time to ask it, that you can impress your friends with, okay? You ready for this? If you're sports fan out there, to ask your friends. If you're at Batavia Downs, you can ask people, come up, whatever. There's only been one time in history that the horse racing Triple Crown and the baseball Triple Crown were won in the same year. What year, and who was the horse and who was the player?
Ooh.
And it's a long time ago, so I don't think you'll know it. But yeah, it is an amazing question.
We know the two recent ones that were, I guess, for a lot of our listeners in their lifetime. American Pharoah in 2015, and then Justify in 2018. And then you got to go back all the way, of course, to the 70s then, Affirm, 1978, and Seattle Slew in 77, and then, of course, Secretariat in 73. Mm-hmm. Do I have to go back farther than Secretariat, 73?
You would, yes.
Okay. Well, then I probably then would just be totally guessing. I'll guess, just to throw it out there, I'll throw 1948, Citation, and let's see.
Close, because Ted Williams won it in 47, but it didn't match up. But that is a good guess. The answer is 1937, War Admiral, which was a sire of, related to Man of War. I don't know if it's the son, the dad, or whatever, right? So, War Admiral, 1937, and Joe Ducky Medwick in 1937 for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, I definitely would not have had Joe Mucky Dudwick there. Dudwick, is that what you said?
Yes, no, Ducky Medwick.
Ducky Medwick, yes. You can see I would not have had that name ready.
There you go.
That's a great question,
though, right?
That is. Triple crown in baseball, triple crown in horse racing. 1937, the last time it happened in the same year. So that is, that's really, really cool. Yeah. Well, I assume part of the lure of going to the Derby, you said your wife Yana's would be excited to go. You have to get one of those hats then, too, I know.
Yeah.
So when I went to Churchill Downs, my wife and I, we went in the store, and she's like, ooh, I really like that hat. And then I was like, all right. So I picked it up, and then I was like, oh, we're not going to get this hat, because I got. Let's just say, without revealing too much, I got a little sticker shock. So let me just tell you, Sal, in advance, to save your family budget for the year, yes, if Yana wants to buy one of those really, really cool hats, don't buy it at Churchill Downs. Buy it somewhere.
Noted. Noted, for sure.
Make a note of that for sure, yeah. Sal Capaccio with us here, joining us, Brian Coles. You'll hear Batavia Downs as, yes, we're getting ready for the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. Post time is at 6:57. Okay. Sal, let's go to, as you said, one of the reasons maybe why you haven't made it to the Derby yet is because it lands on the weekend of the Micah Hyde charity softball game, which is tomorrow at Salem Field. And I know we're hoping, cross our fingers, for good weather for this. For those that maybe don't know as much about this game, Sal, it's really evolved into a really, really fun event for everybody in Western New York, and Micah Hyde has done a tremendous job to raise money. Can you just tell us kind of maybe the evolution of it here? Because I know you've been a part of also helping out emceeing here over the last few years, and it's really gotten bigger and better every year.
Yeah, it has for sure. And I remember the first year we did this. Now it's the fifth annual because COVID knocked it out for a couple years. So would have been, 2018, maybe Josh's rookie year. And I can't remember if it was 2018 or 19, but we there was like 2,500 people there. And the Bisons, they'll tell you, there was a discussion about, hey, is this worth doing? What can we do to make it bigger and better? Because if not, the resources put into it, as much as it's here to raise money, how much money can we raise versus the cost of putting it on?
Right.
And then
Open up the ballpark and staff it and security and all that, for sure.
100%. Yeah. For sure. And, there's a lot of people, resources to bring people to town to make sure this happens the right way. So a couple years later, all of a sudden, Josh becomes Josh and, things start to happen the way they did with the Bills on the field and the personalities off the field and the talent. And Brian, it has been sold out the last few years. I mean, Salem Field is still the largest minor league ballpark in the country. It still is. Over 16,000 seats, and it sells that out. And it is, again, sold out this year, I believe. There might be a few straggling tickets left that you can find. You can probably find a ticket from somebody who maybe can't go or whatever, but I think it's sold out. And it's really amazing, and really, it's so much money raised for Imagine for Youth. That's Micah's foundation. But what's happened, because Micah has obviously retired, and he's not a part of the Bills' actual football team anymore, and there's some young guys who have really kind of been a real big part of this over the last few years, have been with him for so many years, like Deion Dawkins or Dawson Knox, a lot of other guys have been there. What's happened is, over the last few years, is they've raised money for all of their foundations, all of their charities. And that's what it's doing now. It's not just for Imagine for Youth. That's the headline charity because it's Micah. But it is the charity softball game because it's not just the Imagine for Youth softball game, right? It's not just Micah's foundation. And it's really been awesome to see. And he comes back every year and he does it. And he wants to continue to do that. And I see that happening for a long time. It's a great day. it has evolved even the way they put it on, which is now there's a huge tailgate outside. Why not? It's Buffalo. Who cares? It's Sunday morning. People are having food and drinks and, you know, doing everything they need to do outside before they go inside a game like they do at a football game. Once you get inside, just amazing amount of, you know, interaction. There's players walking around talking with fans, you know, as they're coming down by the field, down by the net area. They stick around after to sign autographs. And, of course, the Home Run Derby is a really big deal and watching all of that. So, yeah, it's really evolved into something special for this community. And I'll tell you, Brian, the main memory I have of being able to show this, we put the game on. I say we. I'm part of the everything going on. The day after the mass shooting at Tops, the game was scheduled for the day after, and I remember everyone wondering, what do we do here? Like, you want to be respectful of what just happened in Buffalo, New York.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going on.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Work, but we also knew that this was a moment to bring people together. So I was a part of those discussions, and I remember going to the stadium that morning and people wondering, hey, do we need to say, hey, that, you know, out of respect, we're gonna cancel this, or what do we do? And, you know, to Micah's credit and his team's credit, they stood up and said, I think that this community needs to be together today. And it was just an amazing day. And the community that came together, the tears that you saw in the stadium that day, because the people coming together and talking about it and healing, and they had members of who were affected, like the families on the field before the game. And it was incredible. So, yeah, I just think that that's something that will always be remembered by me and how this thing has really evolved into something greater even than what it stands for, which is raising money.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so you mentioned tickets. If people want to go, I went to the Bisons website. You can go just bisons.com, and you can click on the headline story there. It says Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game. You can click on it. There are a few seats left, Sal, about the last three sections in the, you know, going down the baseline. I tried clicking on anything in the infield and the most of the upper deck, and those are, it says sold out, no seats available. But about the last three sections going down the line, and some of those are smaller seconds. So it's very close to being sold out. But if you do want to get in tomorrow and take part in this wonderful event and see some of the celebrities and obviously you can hear Sal too. He'll be a part of emceeing it,
yeah,
and help raise money. It looks like there are a few of the last three sections out before it gets to the foul line that are available, and then maybe about the last two sections of the upper deck, again, all the way out to the end. So if you want to get in, bisons.com, and obviously, you know, your ticket sale is a part of the donation to help raise money. So that's really, really cool.
Let me say, Ryan, I have been in contact with, you know, people. I was just actually talking with Pat Hammer a couple hours ago about, you know, weather, what it looks like tomorrow. He's been in contact with the Bisons. Tomorrow doesn't look like the best day. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
But right now it looks like some light rain. We'll see. You know, hopefully the heavier rain holds off and light rain and some lulls are enough to get this game in. But just kind of everybody stay kind of on top of things when it comes to that. But as of right now, I mean, this game is still going on and, you know, they're going to work through it and around it and still raise some money.
Yeah. 12:30. Gates open at 11:30 and then the game at 12:30. I know it's offense versus defense, right, Sal? That's how they do it?
It is. Yes, offense versus defense. Yeah. And I think they moved the time up for Gates at 11 o'clock, just so everybody knows. I think they've moved the time to allow people to get in earlier because there's such a crowd and you know, it wants to get in there. So 11 o'clock, I believe, is what time the gates will actually open tomorrow, if I remember right. That's how they moved it up. But you're right. It's offense versus defense. They're home run derby. And then the player introductions are always awesome, obviously. And I think, you know, last year, Sean McDermott showed up.
Can you share some of the players that are committed? Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. And actually, you can go to Hyde Charity Softball. Hey, you got me there? Yeah. HydeCharitySoftball.com is where you can go to see some of the players that are committed and a lot of the names that you'll recognize for sure and guys that have been there for several years, you know, being a part of this thing.
Yeah. So the fifth annual, as you mentioned, Micah Hyde Charity Softball game tomorrow at Salem Field. So looking forward to hearing all that goes on to raise some great money for that, for sure. Yeah, so it's HydeCharitySoftball.com. You're right. Then you can, some of the players that the Bills are involved there, you can go ahead and $35 for tickets. So if part of, obviously a part of that is going to the donation as well. Okay, Sal, I only left, I guess, a few minutes left here. Just quickly for those that want to talk Bills, we now have been essentially now a week since the draft itself. When you look back at the class, a lot of defense up front. I know that's something that you've been talking about all week on WGR. Ultimately, in the end, when we look here, and I know when you get the chance to see these players on the field, it might be an easier answer, but ultimately, when we watch the playoffs play out, which is where it all is going to matter for the Bills this year here, are there enough players that were drafted that ultimately maybe can help push them past these elite teams in the AFC, Kansas City, that can get the Bills, obviously, to their ultimate goal, which is to the Super Bowl?
You know, there's a lot made of what happened on the radio earlier this week. Brandon Bean came on WGR and Jeremy and Joe. And then later in the week, he also did a one-on-one with Tyler Dunn. And, you know, Tyler did a great job there. And one of the things that Brandon said in that particular interview was about getting these quarterbacks on the ground. And maybe that being the feeling of, you know, what this team hasn't been able to do enough of in the playoffs. And we all see that, right? And we all recognize that really what's happened in the playoffs is the Bills just have not been able to have a good enough, critical enough defensive performance in those moments, getting Patrick Mahomes on the ground or getting Joe Burrow on the ground. And it hasn't always just been that. There's other reasons too, there's no doubt. But I look at what they've done at defensive line and obviously at corner, drafting a corner and adding so much. I mean, on the defensive side, you're going to help your pass rush if you can cover better, and you're going to cover better if you can help your pass rush, right? I mean, it's all going to be hand in hand. I think that's what the Bills have really attacked here, Brian, this offseason is they went out and signed Joey Bosa, obviously. They signed Michael Hoyt. He's suspended six games, so is Larry Ogunjobi. But then they spend three mid-round draft picks, early and mid-round draft picks, on defensive linemen. Landon Jackson, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, right? I mean, these are guys that are going to come in and be asked to help this team immediately. Max Harrison is on top of Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. I mean, the Bills have had a clear focus here in the offseason to revamp this defense from a talent standpoint, but also get younger. And in conjunction with Greg Rousseau's extension, Christian Benford's extension, Terrell Bernard's extension, now you kind of are building a new core for the next 4 or 5 years as well.
What is next on the calendar in terms of the team arriving, the rookies, you know, OTAs, eventually in a minicamp? How does that play out here over the next few weeks and months?
So this week, the Bills still have their off-season workout program going on, their off-season conditioning, and then on next Friday, we will go down to the stadium, the media, for rookie minicamps. Our first chance to actually talk to rookies for the first time, meet the rookies for the first time. They'll have rookie minicamp for a couple of days. We'll only get one day with the media. And then they get into OTAs shortly after that. And then June 10, 11, and 12 is mandatory minicamp. So we know that because Brandon Bean told us, you know, back a couple weeks ago that James Cook isn't here right now. I know that's a bit of a storyline. We'll see if he comes in for mandatory minicamp. It is mandatory. How that plays out. But right now, still going through the off-season workout program, and next Friday will be the first time the media gets to see, talk to, be a part of what's happening for rookie minicamp.
Okay, good stuff. And Sal, this rain is not helping our attempt to get out and play and get your new driver going here. I know you sent me a picture. I'm like, all right, that looks great, but it has stopped.
I hit it the other
pouring.
Day for the first time.
Yeah. How'd you hit it?
It was good. It was good. I mean, it's a new club, so there were some misses, no doubt, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
Right.
It's kind of a club you're not used to. But I felt like it was much more consistent and what I wanted out of it, I guess, right? You know?
Yeah.
So I think from that standpoint, it's good. And I'm actually spent today because we had opening day parade was canceled, game was canceled. So here at Casa Capaccio, we've kind of taken today to do a little bit of spring cleaning. I've been going through a lot of my golf stuff today, just kind of make sure I'm good, ready for the season. Now that I'm amped up to use this driver, you know how it goes, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now get all that stuff ready today. So yeah, that's what we're doing. By the way, I forgot the next thing on the calendar too, Brian, the schedule's coming out May 14th.
That's right. Do you have any wishes? Now, your wishes are work-related. It might be different than what fans are looking for. But do you have a work-related wish for the Bills? Do you want them to play on Christmas or no? I assume no, right?
I would prefer they don't, but if it's going to happen, I'd rather be at home for sure. Away Christmas game means I'm gone Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Right?
I mean, that's just when you have an 11-year-old son, Christmas morning, all that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a fun time.
It's not ideal.
Right.
I mean, you do it. We did it a couple years ago. We had to be there. Chicago, we couldn't get home, remember, because of the blizzard.
That's right.
So we had to stay overnight.
Yeah, you were stuck.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't there. Wasn't here. But if the Bills are to play on Christmas, and there have been rumors about that, I don't know. I can't confirm or deny because I don't know, honestly, folks. Like, I know I talk to Mike North every year. Believe me, I try to get information from Mike. He's not giving it to me. They don't do that. I have heard a lot of rumors, like a lot of people have, that the Bills could be playing at home on Christmas night. Maybe it would fit, you know, maybe because that's week 17 this year, not week 16.
Right.
You have that home game, last home game of the year, regular season home game, last regular season home game at Highmark Stadium, nighttime, Christmas. It just kind of fits. I don't know if they're going to do that. It does kind of fit. I'm still interested if they're going to go to Europe, if they're going to go to Ireland. From a work standpoint, sure. I've never been to Ireland. I know fans don't love those international games, but I wouldn't mind going to Ireland. I've never been there. If you're giving me a chance to go there for a work-related trip, I'm not going to turn it down.
Right. That's right. The Steelers are the home team for that game in Dublin, right? So, and the Bills, of course, on the schedule, playing a road game. Now, I know in your conversation with Mike North, the teams that play internationally get to at least have a little say in that. Mm-hmm. Would they, because the Bills are such a tough opponent, would they want that game at what is it? It's not Heinz Field anymore. Accenture Field, whatever it is. Wouldn't they want that game in Pittsburgh instead because they wouldn't want essentially to turn that into a neutral game against Buffalo?
I think they would, but I don't know. Like, they're going to have a say. You're right.
Yeah.
But let's remember they're playing the Packers too, and there's been a lot of rumors about the Packers being that team. And let's just say Aaron Rodgers... I mean, I don't know how you make the schedule without knowing Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing, but if Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, there's no way they're putting Packers Steelers in London at 9:30 a.m. I don't think so. I think you've got to have that game at home at Pittsburgh, right? So that leaves the door open for another team. And, you know, Josh Allen, MVP, superstar, that'd be great to kind of have the game, you know, brought to those fans. So, yeah, I think Pittsburgh would say we'd much rather have all of our North opponents and the Packers and the Bills, you know, here in Pittsburgh, but, you know, we'll see what the league has to say about all that.
Right. That's May 14th when the schedule comes out. All right, so you'll still be busy then here with mini camp with the rookie showing up on Friday and then the schedule, and I love schedule talk. That's fun. So I appreciate, Sal, you giving me a few minutes here today to talk about the softball game tomorrow, and good luck. I wish that the weather cooperates for all involved.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Sal Capaccio with us here. Of course, he'll be at the game tomorrow. I'm seeing if you want to go again, Bisons.com. It looks like There are just a few tickets left, so you can get those there at Bisons.com. Okay, when we come back here, Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs is going to rejoin us. We're going to go through the full field, all 19 horses here, and he'll give you some news and notes on each one of them. So give you a little decision here on maybe what you want to put your wager on here for today. The 151st running of the Kentucky Derby from Churchill Downs coming up later today, 6:57 post time, and Ryan will preview it with us next right here. Live from Batavia Downs inside the Park Place Room, Brian Colziel on WGR. .36 is the time. We welcome you back here to Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. Brian Colziel with you. Joe Kelly producing back in Amherst. Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs Gaming rejoining us here now as we are set to go through the field for the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. I want to thank Sal Capaccio, though, real quick for joining us last segment. Good insight there as we're ready to talk to Ryan here about this Kentucky Derby race. Ryan, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go, man.
Okay.
It's like old homes day here. All these people are coming and saying hello. It's just a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're having a good time here. The TVs are everywhere.
Yes.
We got the WGR prize team. Emily giving away good stuff. Emily, we still got prizes left? We still do.
Yes.
Come on in and spin the wheel on the WGR table, and you can get some good swag as well. Okay, here we go. Horse one. Let's get our news and nuggets from each one of these. We'll start with Citizen Bull, who comes in at 20-1.
Yeah, 21 in the morning line. Jockey is Martin Garcia. It is Bob Baffert's horse. He's back. He's the pace setter horse. He was fourth at the Santa Anita Derby, and he's won four of his last five starts, including that little-known race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which, of course, everyone knows, anoints the Derby favorite the following year. So nobody from the one post has won since 1986, Brian, and this horse will need to get up and get out quickly so they do not get pinched against the rail. I'm watching these races earlier, and I just hit with the number two horse in the eighth race. He likes the slop, and he had a very good speed figure. We are seeing the speed horses win these races. Now, some of these races are, you know, 12 horses. They're not 19 horses. There's a lot more traffic there. But, you know, I was watching something on NBC yesterday. They were talking about the speed and how important it is because there's a lot of speedy horses here and how this possibly could set up for the closers. In the last couple of years, we had Rich Strike come in 2022 and win as a closer. Pleasant County in my birth year of 1981 won, and Ferdinand in 1986, all closers. If the first quarter of a mile is faster than 22 seconds and the first half mile is faster than 45 seconds, that is a blistering pace. In fact, if you go watch Larry Colmus's call of Rich Strike's Derby, he even comments on how fast the race was going at the half mile mark. And so it was, if that's going fast, what happens is all those horses up front, Brian, they get tired.
Yeah.
And those closers, those deep closers are going to try to pick them off. So they're wondering, are all these pace setter horses, like the number one Citizen Bull, are they going to, like, you know, not collude, but kind of get together and save themselves while they're racing? Hey, look, we're going a little bit too fast here. We got to have something left in the tank, because it's not really great for you as a horse, you know, to just go out to the front and then just absolutely just get smoked at the end. You want to make sure that you're leading out. And on a day like today, when you're kicking up a lot of mud, some of these horses that don't like the mud are not going to have it in their spirit to get around. Yep. So we'll see.
And some people are simply just going to bet the horse because Baffert's attached to it.
Yeah, that he's just going to get that money, like when you bet the Yankees because you like Aaron Judge. You know, all that kind of stuff can happen as well.
All right, to the two horse, and I guess we'll label this in the long shot variety here, 30-1. That's Neokios.
Neokios, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
Flavian Pratt rides with Safi Joseph Jr. as the trainer. He's a press-the-pace horse, so maybe not leading, but definitely pressing towards the front, not quite a stalker. Third in the Florida Derby in the Fountain of Youth, and he dueled and tired at lesser lengths. Again, this is a mile and a quarter, so if you look back at Neokios in the Florida Derby, it was a mile and an eighth, a mile and a 16th in the Fountain of Youth, so if he can't get the distance there, is he going to get the distance here today? Might be a tough call.
Yeah. So Neokios at 30-1. Also 30-1 is the three-horse Final Gambit.
Final Gambit with Luan Machado and Brad Cox, of course, a famous trainer there. One of the gray horses here. This is a closer horse. He was first in the Grade 3 Ruby, Jeff Ruby Stakes on an all-weather surface. This will be Final Gambit's first time touching the dirt. It'll be his first time racing on dirt. He's practiced on dirt, done all that stuff, but he's never raced a race on dirt. Now, of course, you guys remember Animal Kingdom, who was a long shot winner. It was his first time on dirt ever. So these horses, they've practiced on it, so it's not like it's a foreign substance to them to step on. But so we'll see. But Final Gambit, again, long odds here. We'll have to see.
The four-horse Rodriguez is a scratch, so we go to horse five. That's American Promise, also a long shot at 30-1.
Yes, Nick Juarez is the jockey. Dwayne Lucas, a Hall of Famer trainer there. He's a press-the-pace horse, and he is the son of 2018 Triple Crown winner Justify. So a lot of great breeding there. He won the Virginia Derby after disappointing in two previous Derby prep races. So again, what do we talk about when it comes to the playoffs with any sport, whether it's horse racing or hockey, you got to get hot at the right time. And he has won his last race. So we'll have to see if he's just going up here.
All right, to the six horse, another 30-1, Admire Daytona.
Yes, Christophe Lemaire and trainer, and I'm going to butcher this, so my apologies. It looks like it's Yukihiro Kato. He's a pace setter horse. He's Japanese bred. He won the UAE Derby. That's the United Arab Emirates Derby there. And, you know, traditionally having to ship halfway across the world, not easy, coming from so far away. So we had a Japanese horse come second last year, and that was pretty exciting. But it's a question of not necessarily when or if, but when a horse will win. That's a Japanese horse. So we'll be keeping an eye on the number six for sure.
All right, to the seven horse, better odds here, 15-1. It's Luxor Cafe.
So this is one of the horses that I absolutely love. Number seven, Luxor Cafe. It doesn't have the Japanese logo next to him inside the program here that mm-hmm. you'll get your local OTB. But his owner and his trainer are both Japanese, and he's raced, as you can see, overseas. These aren't races necessarily that are always here in the United States. So right. he's been around. He won the Churchill Downs' Japan Road to the Derby Division. So there were races going on in Japan where you could earn your Derby points to get there. He is the son of American Pharoah. But again, the knock on him because he's racing overseas is it's a lot of like inferior competition, not exactly like the best.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, tough when you're not racing against the best to get it. But this horse did finish second on a muddy track, which could play into everything today. And I know that Nick the Railbird is a fan of his. It put it on the front cover here of the Derby program. You can see that it's one of his live long shots here today.
So. Okay, beautiful there. Info. Okay, let's go to horse number eight, Journalism. And this is the favorite, 3-1. There's going to be, I'm sure, a lot of money put on horse eight.
Yes, and I think Journalism, it deserves to be the favorite today. You know, obviously you've got Umberto Rispoli, Michael McCarthy as the trainer there. He's a stalker horse. He's the money line favorite, and he's won four starts, including the Santa Anita Derby. His only knock, again, just like with the other guy, it's a small field he's going up against. So he hasn't been tried, true, and tested against large groups. There's 18 other horses that he's going to be racing against today. A lot of traffic when he's trying to go through, so it'll be interesting.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Interesting to see if journalism can do it. Now, he's got great speed figures, and I just said at the beginning of the segment here, speed is doing well today. 108, 110, 106, 105 in his last four starts, all wins. So journalism certainly is the speed horse today.
Brian Colesiel here at Batavia Downs, our Kentucky Derby party on WGR. Hope you're enjoying it. It's the first Saturday in May, the Run for the Roses. Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs taking us through horse by horse. So listen up here, see who you like, and maybe you want to put your wager on. Let's go to horse number nine now, Burnham Square at 12-1.
Yes, jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. won the whole thing last year, which was fantastic. Trainer Ian Wilkes. This is a closing horse, and he's the only gelding in the race, which means he's lacking things that could help him at the breeding shed later. So this horse is going to run and try to make money for his owners now because he can't really help produce any offspring at a later time. He won the Bluegrass Stakes by a nose after closing very hard. And again, like I mentioned, this is the last year's winning jockey. He's peaking at the right time, so there's a very good chance you want to include the number 9 in your bets. I will be doing that with that 104 speed figure in his last race.
Okay. Good there. Notes on Burnham Square at the 9 horse. 10 horse is Grande, who is scratched, so we'll go to 11. That's Flying Mohawk, one of the long shots, 30-1.
Yes, this horse has got Joseph Ramos as the jockey. Whit Beckman is the trainer. This is a closing horse. He closed from second to last to finish second at that Jeff Ruby Stakes. But again, that Jeff Ruby Stakes is a race that is kind of like a grade three, not a grade one or a grade two. So you still get some Derby points, but you know it's one of the horses you can see as long odds. This is Jason Wirth's horse. Jason Wirth, former MLB player.
Phillies, right?
Yeah. Phillies and I think the Mets for a while. On the coverage earlier today with he's wearing like a pistachio green. I don't know what else color to call it. He's got a great outfit. He looks awesome. So,
all right.
So that's Jason Worth's horse, number 11, Flying Mohawk.
All right, let's go to the 12 horse and 20-1 for East Avenue.
Yeah, East Avenue is getting a lot of play here because I think a few of our employees live on East Avenue somewhere here in Batavia. Because somebody was
adamant. There's a lot of East Avenues around the country.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I was going to say someone out there listening lives on East Avenue. 20-1, jockey Manny Franco, trainers Brendan Walsh. He's a pace setter, so he tried to go wire to wire in the Bluegrass Stakes before being nosed out by Burnham Square, the number 9. So again, you've got a horse that did a good job, led the race, but just couldn't quite get the distance. He does have a new jockey on his back from his previous races, something you don't necessarily see. He had Tyre Gaffleone on his back, and then Luan Machado, who I believe is on somebody else here today. So again, a jockey change that's a little bit tough. So good luck to those back in East Avenue today.
Lucky 13, some hope. The 13 horse, Publisher, 20-1.
One of my favorite jocks, Irad Ortiz Jr., is on the back with Steve Asmussen as the trainer. This is a closing horse, and this horse is a maiden. He has not won a race yet in his lifetime. No maiden has won the Derby since 1933. He was second in the Arkansas Derby, and he does come from good lineage because he is the son of American Pharoah.
Okay, that will also find people to be intrigued. Maybe the best name on the board, 14 horse, 20-1, Tiztastic.
Tiztastic. Now, I am a big fan of this horse as well, Joel Rosario on the back. Steve Asmussen is the trainer. He's a closing horse, and his dad was Tiz the Law, if you remember us talking about him, back in 2020 for the Belmont, which came before the Derby that year, which is kind of a little bit odd. That horse also ended up winning the Travers that summer at Saratoga. Now, Tiztastic won the Louisiana Derby, but he had not won his previous four starts. Again, we're talking about peaking at the right time. This horse in a 10-horse field was as low back as ninth. He broke from the number three spot, decided to be nine lengths behind the leader and number nine at the first quarter pole, and then closed all the way, taking the lead and winning by 2.25 lengths at the Louisiana Derby. So I'm liking Tiztastic today.
Okay, Tiztastic the 14. We go to the 15, a long shot, Render Judgment, 30-1.
Now, Render Judgment had a quarter crack in his foot, but they took a look at it, and they were doing some work on it, whatever else, and he is going to race today. This is the horse that comes from the late Toby Keith's farm. So the late Toby Keith, of course, is a country music star there. This is his horse, if you will. Julian Leperoux on the back. You've got the trainer Ken McPeak. This is, again, a closing horse. He was a late entry into the Derby because he had a couple other horses that had more Derby points but decided to opt out and point at other races. That makes it tough. You know, you're not one of the best ones to get in, and then this happens.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, not everybody's Rich Strike. You know, remember, Rich Strike wasn't even in the race until the other horse scratched, and then he won the whole darn thing.
That's right. Good story with Rich Strike for sure. We go to 16, another 30-1 odds horse, and that's Cole Battle.
Cole Battle got Juan Vargas and trainer Lonnie Riley. He's a stalker horse, third in the Arkansas Derby, but he did win the Rebel Stakes, which is the race preceding the Arkansas Derby. You know, if you're racing in Arkansas on the Derby Trail, you do the Grade 2 Rebel before you're racing the Arkansas Derby. His speed figures are lower than some of the other top horses in this race, which doesn't bode well considering we're seeing what we're seeing here. But an interesting thing about this horse is at in November and back in July of last year as a two-year-old, he was racing in, a $30,000 race and then a kind of a lower-level stakes race on a muddy track. But he came in first both times, and he has won four of his last five races. So, again, this horse is consistent. If he's got, if he can weave around the traffic and enjoy this muddy track today, maybe you take a flyer on the number 16, Cole Battle.
All right, two of the next horses coming up here are going to be amongst the favorites. We'll start with the 17 horse, Sandman, at 6-1.
Jose Ortiz with Mark Cass is the trainer. It's a closing horse. A gray horse, another gray horse here today. I'll be putting that in my wife's superfecta. She always bets the grays. Rallied from eighth, all the way back in eighth, Brian, to win the Arkansas Derby by 2.5 lengths. As a deep closer, he's going to have to work around more horses than he ever has before, because when he came back from eighth in the Arkansas Derby, of nine horses, by the way, he only had to get past seven of them to win the race. So, again, double that if you're trying to go to the back and be a deep closer here today. Sandman, of course, has no actual connection to Metallica, but I just saw a picture that NBC tweeted out of James Hetfield, the lead singer of Metallica, holding up the silks of Sandman. I think he might actually be there. It looks like he might be there, so I'm not exactly sure, but it could be AI. Who knows these days? But I know that the Metallica folks did get wind of the name of the horse Sandman, and they sent them all kinds of Metallica gear. So they're very much into rooting for that horse today.
And as I said, if you are a big Mariano Rivera fan, with the Enter Sandman song, he could also be a pick for you, horse 17. Okay, another near the top favorite here, Sovereignty, the 18 horse, 5-1.
Junior Alvarado rides with Bill Mott as the trainer. This is another closing horse. He won the Coolmore Stakes, and he was second in the Florida Derby. The Florida Derby winner was a horse named Tappan Street, who is not here today. So Tappan Street did not get pointed. So as the second choice winner there in the the Florida Derby, he got his points, and he'll be here. This horse also won at Churchill Downs in October as a two-year-old. So he's familiar with the course. He's been here before, but he'll need a good trip as a closer.
Okay, we go to horse 19 here. 3 to go, 30-1, Chunk of Gold.
Now, this horse my son picked because it's got some sort of, some connection to Minecraft possibly because of the whole Chunk of Gold. There's all those bricks, in Minecraft. So
right.
He's like, Dad, I like this horse. I said, all right, man, well, I'll put him in one of my superfectas for you. Jairus Loveberry is the jockey with Ethan West as the trainer. This is a stalker closer horse, another gray horse, and this horse is second, if I'm not mistaken, here, second in the Risen Star Stakes, and then he raced in the Louisiana Derby and was second there. He's getting faster, but his speed figures are, again, low compared to the rest of the field. So we'll see how it pans out for this this gray horse here, the number 19.
All right, 20 horse, not Bruce Almighty with the Buffalo connection, but
right.
It's Owen Almighty at 30-1.
WGR favorite from what I'm hearing when I listen to Nick the Railbird on with Jeremy and Joe
yes.
on Friday morning at 9:30 when they went over their picks. And again, the jockey is my friend Chris's favorite jockey, Javier Castellano. You never bet against Castellano. I think I have to use him just because of the jockey. Brian Lynch is the trainer. This is the pace setter horse. He's going to want to be near the front. He's going to break from the far outside, which is a tough post for these pace setters because they're not near the middle of the track. He won the Tampa Bay Derby by going wire to wire, but that Tampa Bay Derby, of course, was only a mile and a 16th. He led in the Bluegrass Stakes just for a hot minute and then kind of tired out and finished sixth. He might not have the stamina to go the distance. That might be the knock on the number 20, Owen Almighty.
And the late entry, I guess you'd say, because of the scratches, 21 horse is going to be in, and it's Beza.
Now, this is an interesting one with Beza. Flavian Pratt is the jock, and you've got John Sheriffs is the trainer there. Now, this horse was purchased at the yearling. You know, they have those yearling auctions for $1.2 million. There's a couple horses in here that purchased for less than $100,000. And this horse was purchased for $1.2 million.
That's a pricey purchase.
A very pricey purchase for sure. And it looks like Big Brown, of course, was his sire there. A Big Brown, of course, I want to say 2008 Derby and Preakness winner there. He is the half-brother to my favorite Kentucky Derby winner, Mage, in 2023, and 2024 Belmont winner, Dornock. Here's the interesting thing about Beza. If you take a look at his racing history here, he's got incredible speed figures. And his last race was the Santa Anita Derby, where he finished second place by three-quarters of a length. Not even a full length, Brian. Three-quarters of a length to who? That's right, the favorite, Journalism. So if you love journalism and you want to bet on journalism at 7-2 or whatever his odds are here, how about a 12-1 for almost a horse that's only three quarters of a length slower? But again, Beza did not do well in some of these other races and didn't, they didn't do well in the other races. He didn't even get entered into these other races to earn the Derby points. He wasn't also eligible. But as we saw with Rich Strike in 2022, anything can happen with these also eligibles if they're just peaking at the right time. So keep an eye on Beza. That might be something you want to take a look at.
So your top three favorites, Journalism, the 8-horse, 3-1. Sovereignty, the 18-horse at 5-1. Sandman, the 17-horse at 6-1. But, as Ryan said to start the show last hour, the past three Kentucky Derbies have been won by double-digit odd horses.
Double-digit odd horses, which would take a couple of my folks out here. You know, I'm definitely loving the 7, as I mentioned. Journalism, you got to use that as well. We got some other horses in here that... I'm taking a look at who's done well on a sloppy track, and I might even, actually, I know I am. I wrote it down right here. I'm going to be putting a bet in that's only the horses that have done well and raced in the slop, just for funsies, just to see what happens with that if it comes in all sloppy horses.
Okay, Ryan's official picks will be coming up at 4:30, so make sure you stay tuned for that. The rain right now at Churchill Downs, it's light rain, expected to be on and off light rain throughout the rest of the evening here. Muddy conditions. Temperature 60 degrees as of this moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. We'll look forward to giving my picks here in the 4 o'clock hour. And, make sure plenty of time to get to your local OTB branch or out here at Batavia Downs to see us.
That's right. Come by and say hello. Again, we got WGR prizes available. Lots of great stuff and opportunity here. Of course, you can go out and go to the casino floor, check out one of their great restaurants. We got a whole bunch of stuff here in the Park Place Room with all the TVs showing the race and other good sporting events. So looking forward to that. Okay, we got to get caught up on commercial breaks here. When we do, we'll reset things and get into hour number three. Paul Hamilton coming up with his thoughts on the NHL playoffs and the Amherst sweep of Syracuse. That's all coming up next as we step aside here from our Kentucky Derby show. Brian Colziel live at Batavia Downs on WGR. .358 is the time. We welcome you back here to Batavia Downs Gaming. Inside the Park Place Room, Brian Colziel here, our Kentucky Derby party in full swing. A lot of cool hats, a lot of nice people dressed up here, and some good eats, some good beverages. They got the mint julep cups that you can get if you come on by here and check out the party. All the information at BataviaDowns.com. If you want to make a wager on this race today, you can go to BataviaBets.com or come here to Batavia Downs or any Western OTB location. And as Ryan said earlier, if you want, you can make a wager. We know there's a whole bunch of different ways to do it on your phone and everything. But if you bet through Western OTB, a portion of it goes back to Western New York counties. So a way to also really support the counties here in Western New York by betting through Western OTB and Batavia Downs. Okay, when we come back here, we'll get into hour number three. Paul Hamilton on the NHL playoffs, on the Amerik sweep, a look ahead to the Hockey World Championships, and then Ryan at 4:30 will come back on and give us his official picks. Brian Colzio with you. Hope you've enjoyed our first 2 hours of our Kentucky Derby show live at Batavia Downs right here on WGR.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.